Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Everyone, and welcome to Onceable episode 91. Today we're going to be talking about Once Upon a Time season 5 episode 21, Last Rites. I'm Karen. I'm going to be your host this week because Brittany is out on vacation, lucky her. And today I'm joined by Laura, Jen, and Kristen. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
As usual, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at Onceable or this post on Hypeable.com. You can also comment on our recaps or any other Once Upon a Time-centric posts. Okay, so this week, we're talking about Last Rites. I want to get some initial feedback really quick about the episode because I have a feeling it's a little divisive. Laura, let's start with you. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs down. I hated it. And just for the record, I hated it before they killed Robin. Still raging.
Yeah. Okay. And Jen, how did you feel about this episode?
Considering how much I've disliked the previous episodes, this one was better for me. I felt like the story was finally moving somewhere. Do you know what I mean? Like, I felt like we had a sense of direction, even though we're still not sure what the whole point is with the whole Hades thing. Like, I feel like there is no point. But in general, I feel like the other characters at least had some direction. So I'm going to give it like a sideways, maybe a little bit up, but mostly just sideways.
That's fair. And Kristen, what did you think?
I think mine is mostly a thumbs up. Like, it's pretty much a thumbs up because I really liked the Emma stuff in this episode. She had me crying. Like, I seriously teared up once or twice, and there was some good stuff. There's a few things that I wish, you know, were different and weren't there, but mostly I liked it. So
cool. I'm actually gonna give this a thumbs up. It was really emotional. Like, it was heartbreaking, and of course I'm sad that Robin is gone, but I just feel like I've been so uncaring for so long that now they're kind of giving us everything that makes me want to care again. And I really did by the end of the episode. And plus, like you were saying, Jen, it furthers the plot. And I think this one was really action-packed, and it was kind of like boom, 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 on to the next thing. So it was nice to feel that again. And I'm blissfully happy about it, so I'm definitely just going to give it a thumbs up for that. But of course, we're going to jump into favorite quotes now. Laura, why don't you explain yours?
My favorite quote is Robin Hood. It seems like it's going to be the last time I get to pick a Robin Hood quote. And my quote was, "Forgive me if I don't care to listen. I have a daughter to save." For me, that quote just so totally summed up all the BS that's sort of been going on, in that we've just been muddling and waddling through everything, and at the end of the day, yes, that is what it is about. And I feel like Once Upon a Time kind of lost what it was all about, and I, you know, watched more meandering and flopping around at the beginning of the episode. And even Regina, I felt like, was reduced to being like, oh, I don't know what we should do. I was like, how did we make Regina stupid? And Robin just cut to the heart of it with the, "Forgive me, I don't care to listen, I have a daughter to save." And I'm like, thank you for getting them all to focus, because everybody else has taken stupid pills. So that was my favorite quote. Really hate that how Robin's fate ended up, because even though he did something heroic, I just have a feeling that Zelina hasn't learned anything, and I'm not sure Regina has either. So anyway, hard to say it's my favorite quote, but it's sort of the most prolific.
Yeah, that makes sense. Jen, yours is a little on the funny side.
Yeah, I basically had a couple because I couldn't decide. So for me, it was the Blind Witch, and Cruella took like the quote, like, quotes to a whole new level tonight. So the Blind Witch, when Hook and Arthur enter the cafe, she goes, "Thought you guys would come back soon. I smelled a bromance. Table for two." And then there's another quote that Kristen will read to you, but there's a quote that comes after it, and Cruella says, "Oh, as appealing as this double sandwich is, I'm pretty certain lying to you won't get me what I want." She's just so sassy. I love her. So yeah, those were my favorite ones. I like the sass of the combo between the Blind Witch and Cruella. I thought that was super fun.
Yeah, this whole scene was great. And I love how she was just like double sandwich. And it was perfect. They're standing there like, well, yeah, kind of.
I thought she said double sandwich.
Oh, well, that makes it
like,
even funnier.
Like the scruff?
Actually. Maybe that's what it was. Either way, it's still a funny line, no matter how you want to.
It's still hilarious, yeah.
How you want to rock.
But stubble would be way better. So listeners, you'll have to let us know what you think it was. Kristen, yours is right in here as well.
Yes, mine comes from Cruella. It was right before the stubble sandwich. And she says, oh, back up. Seriously, back up. Let me take a gander at this handsome new addition to the underworld. Oh, Cruella, I love you.
She's the worst, but also the best. And
yeah.
I don't really get it, but she works. She's great. Mine was kind of a funny line, too, but it wasn't in the scene. It was when Regina and Robin are right outside her old office, and Hades does or says something. God, I can't even remember what it is now. And she just kind of goes, I really hate him. And I'm like, you know what, Regina? Me too.
It was such perfect timing. Like, she kind of waited a beat and then just, I really hate him. And yeah, it was just great. Ugh,
the way she said it was so funny.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the discussion of this episode because a lot happened and a lot of really big things happened. So I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of opinions flying around. I'm really interested to hear what you guys think about all of these events. But first and foremost, we meet Xalina and Hades right off the bat. And one of the first things that happens is Xalina leaves to go talk to her sister to convince everyone that he has changed and he's a good person now. And she leaves the baby with Hades. Anyone else just like, whoa, bad idea. Like, it ended up not really playing a significant part in the episode. Like, I say that because I almost figured him to, like, take the baby and try to sacrifice it. He obviously didn't end up doing that. But anyone else like, yeah, this is not going to go well.
Oh, me, totally, Karen. Like, right with you. Like, what are you doing? Because Hades has proven time and again that he is all about Hades and is willing to sacrifice anything for what brings him personal joy, and everything is just a possession, and Xalina is one of those. And the baby has never figured into this, like, on any sympathetic level for Hades yet. I mean, I just thought, this is a supremely bad idea. I'm like, what are you thinking? And you're right, it didn't pan out into anything horrific at that point, but I seriously was like, no, don't do that, you know? You're like, this is the man who wanted Belle's baby, and you're going to hand him an infant? Doesn't seem like a good idea.
Well, you know? And with all the talk of the time travel spell from way back when, I was like, you just handed him a baby. Like, are you serious?
Right.
Like, I half expected him to just kind of disappear and go start working on his agenda. Like, ooh, I got the baby. That was easy. Moving on.
And can we call that officially, like, the world's biggest dropped plot point this season? Unless they suddenly do something with it in the season finale. Like, that is a colossal dropped plot point.
Yeah. Like, it was a huge deal. They made a big deal out of it and then just kind of whoosh, disappeared when they went to the underworld and gone. Ta-da! Like, weird.
Yeah, I'd like to think that it'll come back, but at the same time, I'm like, that's also terrible. Like, I kind of don't want it to come back if there's an infant involved, but we'll have to see. I mean, Once Upon a Time has dropped minor plot points before, but never one that felt as big as that, so I kind of would think they'd bring it back up, but maybe not. Maybe we'll just end up moving on. But considering, you know, drop plot point, Arthur returns. I don't know if they show this in the preview, because I don't think I honestly watched the preview for last week, but I was shocked that he was back, because you just see him run in the background out of the woods. He literally slides, like, into home plate at Hades' feet. And I was okay, Arthur's back. And then 20 seconds later, boom, Hades kills him. I was shocked. Was anyone else shocked?
I was just shocked he was back. And, like, Arthur has, like, two emotions. It's like, I am king of Camelot and I can't move my lips. And then the other expression is this, I'm so emotional. Like, he is emo Arthur. I was just happy to be done with him, to be very honest with you. I was like, yes, he can go be cranky and constipated somewhere else, because that's what he looks like all the time.
Well, I think it was surprising. I mean, it kind of tidily wraps up the Arthur issue if you have Hades kill him off and then he chooses to reside in the underworld. It kind of makes the Camelot in Storybrooke go away without their king kind of thing.
So, like, is Arthur in charge down there now? Or, like, I'm not clear. Who's in charge down there now?
Well, he said this was Cruella's... the kingdom he thought he should rule. Even though Cruella said she was in charge, he said he thought this was the kingdom that he should rule. So something tells me the two of them are going to have a nice, lovely fight for a bit.
Exactly. Oh, like, I think Cruella is like, this is my kingdom, and Arthur's going to try, but I'm pretty sure Cruella's going to win, so...
She is much sassier than him.
Yes.
I was surprised that in Arthur's death, like, I looked at Karen, and, like, the neck snap, like, hearing it, I was like, did that just happen? Like, more surprising than Arthur just appearing. Like, since we were going back to Storybrooke, we'd see him at some point. But, yeah, just all of a sudden, Arthur's dead, and I was like, what just happened? So...
It was kind of violent, I'm not going to lie. I mean, not that they haven't had violent things on here before, but yeah, it was striking in its violence, I think. But this wraps everything up, and it's kind of strange because we've been wanting it to be wrapped up, but at the same time, like, it felt so easy. But also, is he really the god of the underworld now? Because let's be real, it doesn't really work that way. Like, he's not a god. He's a human
right.
who has died.
Yeah, like, I don't see him being the overlord of all the minions and, like, controlling the River of Souls, and I don't know, it's just, I was left very confused with who is in charge down there. It was just very strange. I mean, even though they said he has more unfinished business than anyone, I'm like, it's just bizarre.
Yeah, I could see him, like, trying to take it over, but he doesn't have the power that Hades had, so I don't really understand how that's going to work exactly. But I have more questions about that, but before we get to that point, I just want to talk a little bit more about Xelena and Hades, because Xelena is in such denial in this episode. I mean, I know she has been from the beginning about Hades, but even more so here. And Hades is manipulating her like I cannot believe. He at first I was like, how do you not see through this guy? But then as he kept going, I was like, wow, he's good. Like, he walks away from her at one point and is just like, I'll turn myself in if that's what you want. Because he knows she's going to be like, wait, don't do that. We'll figure this out together. And if we have to fight them, we'll do that together too. And I was like, wow, he's getting good.
Well, basically, yeah, he's like a huge emotional manipulator. Like, that's his end game. Mm-hmm. To emotionally manipulate basically her, because her weakness is the one thing she wants more than anything in this world is to be loved by someone. That's all she wants, really. That's her endgame, is to have some love for herself, because she never felt it as a child. She, you know, her sister didn't love her and all these other things. She's always been this jealous, envious person. So if she can have this one person that loves her and dotes on her, that's all she needs. And he plays that hand heavily. He does it to get what he wants. I don't think he ever really right. loved her in any way, shape, or form, but he knew it was a means to an end. He knew right. that he could manipulate her and get her to do whatever he wanted, even until the very end. He really, truly thought that she was going to kill Regina. He really, you could tell that he was quite surprised.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you, and at the same time, I feel like Xelena is just as ruthless in what she considers somebody loving her means. Like, I don't even think she even, on a certain level, understands that. Like, as much as Hades was saying, I just want you, you are my true love, you are what I need, she's looking for that. Like, for her, it's, oh, that baby is going to love me, and I feel like she's not even thinking about what that baby is going to want. Like, it just, they're so centric and wrapped up in themselves and what they're lacking. And yeah, I know Xelena has a lot of baggage, but it just, I still don't feel like either of them has really that much considered outside themselves. Not so much of what she was doing to, he was going to do to Regina or everything else, but because she realized he wasn't going to really love her the way she wanted. Like, I don't know. There was one person on Twitter who I thought summed it up really well. She said, I thought Zelina couldn't be any more annoying, and then they made her dumb. Like, that's what I think really, really bugged me. And then somebody else said, Zelina is really buying the shiz. Like, it drove me bananas. I just felt like, I don't know. I mean, I know she waffles, but I felt like she waffled too much between being smart, being stupid, being conniving, being, I don't know. I don't know what to, and now she's remorseful in naming the baby Robin. I don't know.
I think that's a really good point. This is something that I addressed in my recap because Brittany bestowed this great honor / burden on my shoulders. I volunteered. It's not a burden. Love you, Brittany. And it's something that I actually didn't think about until I started writing about it. But it is strange because she did feel very dumb in this episode. And at first I really hated that. And then the more that I thought about it, throughout her lifetime, her entire life, she has hated Regina. She has hated the idea of Regina. And in her mind, Regina has over and over and over again rejected her and tried to control her. Hades has done basically one thing wrong to her, and that was leave her once. Okay? So I can kind of see in her mind why she wants to keep siding with Hades, but at the same time, it's very frustrating to me that she's not learning her lesson with him. And I'm really curious, Laura, I know kind of how you feel about this and that you don't think Zelina has changed and you think she's just going to go back to the way that she is before. But, you know, Kristen and Jen, how do you guys feel about Zelina? Because they're clearly trying to make her maybe not a hero, but somebody who has learned her lesson and is trying to be a better person. Do you feel like that's going to stick?
I think it will to some extent, because they kind of have been setting it up for the past, you know, three episodes or so. First, we have, you know, Cora telling the sisters that they were actually friends once, and look at this and have these memories and see what you could be to each other. And then we go into this aspect of it. And the only sticking point here, I don't think it will be Zelina as it will be Regina. Regina has lost something, not once, but twice now. This is not going to bode well for Regina and, like, her mental health at this point. Every time she finds love, she loses it. So why is she going to bother? Why bother being good when you only just lose everything when you're good? Do you know what I mean? So I'm a little worried about Regina in this dynamic. But I think the idea is to make Zelina more of a hero, not necessarily like the best hero, but more of a hero, so that they can raise Roland and Robin as sisters and these kinds of things, because I think that's going to need to happen. So I don't know. That's what
yeah,
I think.
In this episode, I think I felt more for Zelina than I did for definitely Hades, but for most of the characters. I feel like she was just trying so hard to believe that there was actually someone who loved her. She's been searching for it her whole life. She's tried every which way to get it. She's tried having children, and that doesn't necessarily seem to work out. And she tried finding her mother, and she, you know, once bonded with her sister, and she's never really had anyone. And here Hades is telling her all the things she wants to hear. And I think she was just wishful thinking and hoping that he's actually telling her the truth. So, you know, every step of the way, she's showing that she believes him and she's trying really hard to. And then ultimately, you know, she sees in the last moments, you know, and makes the right decision and kills him instead of Regina. I do feel for her. Like, I definitely like her more as a character now than I ever have before. I'm hoping that, you know, her and Regina can kind of bond through this even more, because Regina has stood up for her, and, you know, it did pay her back this time. Zelina didn't screw her over and kill her as well, like she has every other time. So I feel like Zelina's earned a little bit of slack with the results of this episode. As far as Regina goes, I'm really hoping that because Robin's death was not someone taking him from her. It was he chose to protect her, he chose to save her, that she is able to find peace with it a lot sooner and a lot easier than she found peace before. I know that the trailer kind of leads us to believe that she loses control, but I'm hoping that maybe they were trying to falsely lead us to that conclusion, and that Regina is actually going to be the one in control, and that someone else is going to be the one raging. I don't know yet. We'll see next week, but I'm really hoping that Regina is able to kind of keep her head.
Yeah, so do I, especially because she still has Henry. Like, Henry has always been an anchor for her, and I would hate to see her go off the deep end because of Robin, considering how far she's come, especially with Henry still hanging around and being, you know, the amazing person that he is, even though they hardly use his character.
That's what I think really bothers me, too. And I understand that change is a gradual process and things, but I think there's the point that Regina has come so far and over time and progressed. Like, I hope we don't just snap our fingers and we return back to Evil Queen again. Like, to me, it's just so implausible. Like, Rumpel never really did a huge change at all, and we've seen that, and that's why he is like he is. But I feel like for Regina to totally regress into Evil Queen mode and to start throwing fireballs at people and all of that is just, I don't know. It just, to me, it starts to go back down the road of some of the stereotyping that I was having issues with the other week when we were talking about these are heroes, these are villains, and it starts to feel like predestination in that you can never, if you're a villain, then you can never be good. If you're a hero, you can never be evil, and it doesn't allow for shades of gray. And I feel like that's kind of what we haven't been seeing a lot. Like, characters, there aren't shades of gray so much as we get a flash of the other thing and then they're back to, well, you're a villain, you're a hero. Like, it just doesn't allow for progression. So I'm really, really hoping we don't go back to Bwahaha Evil Queen, because that just, for me, would not really be interesting on any level.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, if you think about being evil as almost like a mental disorder, you know, like if somebody has anxiety, if somebody has depression, it never really goes away. You can work on it, you can be on medicine, you can try your hardest to counteract it, but sometimes you're going to slip, and sometimes you're going to, you know, feel sad or feel anxious despite everything that you've done and how far you've come with it. But at the same time, this television show is, it's a concentrated amount of story, and that you can't have your characters waffling back and forth that much, because it gets really frustrating for the audience. And I hate that Regina is always seemingly on the edge of, you know, being evil again, because you're right, she's come so far, and it gets really frustrating to see her, you know, to see them warn about her going back. Like, I feel like she really is in control now, and Kristen, I hope that you're right and that they're kind of misleading us, and maybe it's about Rumpel or something, because I just don't want Regina to walk down that path again. It's just, I'm definitely over it at this point. Okay, so jumping into the main part of this story, which is about this Olympian crystal that we get, which, not gonna lie, I was kind of excited. Every time they mention, you know, Olympian something, then my heart beats a little faster. So that was kind of cool that they incorporated this into it. And, like, the crystal looked kind of awesome, too. Like, it kind of looked like a lightning bolt. And we know that Zeus destroyed it because it was very powerful, very dangerous, and he didn't want it in Hades' hands. Now, the reason why Hades can put it back together is because he now has a beating heart. He has a beating heart because he shared true love's kiss with Selena. And this is something that I'm really struggling with, because on the one hand, we know they shared true love's kiss. Therefore, they are truly in love. I mean, it's kind of like cause and effect, like it's a fact. But I don't feel it, and I don't buy it And I don't know if this is necessarily like a plot hole in the show where they just kind of had to gloss over this, because we know now that Rumpel and Belle aren't truly in love anymore because he kissed her and nothing happened. And I think Xelena is in love with Hades because he's giving her everything she wants. But I have such a hard time believing that Hades is in love with her because he has all of these ulterior motives.
When you said that, I'm wondering if, did she kiss him or did he kiss her? Because in the past, like, Emma kissed Henry, and at the time, he was her true love. So, because he was her son, and she had just gotten, you know, just found him. So, he couldn't kiss her because he was, you know, lying in a bed, but she kissed him. So I'm wondering if because Xelena kissed Hades and she was truly in love, that true love's kiss worked. Like, does that make sense?
I get what you're saying, Kristen, but it's still so lame. Like, it is a lame plot point. Do you know what I mean? Overall, so now there are rules to true love's kiss. Only one person in the couple has to be their true love. The other one doesn't count. It's okay. Do you know what I, like, do you know what it, I mean?
Like, yeah,
I
get it. Yeah, it's like yelling oxen free. Really? Yeah, totally.
It's just, yeah. And I get what you're saying too, Karen, about Rumpel. Because Rumpel is truly in love with Belle, or the idea of Belle. Like, it's hard to tell what Rumpel's really in love with, or if Rumpel's really in love at all. He's just awful. Anyway.
He's in love with himself.
I was going to say, yeah, there's that too. He's in love with the...
He's in love with the darkness. Can
the
he,
power.
Like, give darkness true love's kiss? Because he would. Yeah, but I mean, that's a good point too, because Rumpel kissed Belle. Rumpel is definitely still in love with Belle. Belle is not in love with Rumpel, so the kiss didn't work. So I think even if Xelena was the one that initiated the kiss, they both had to be in love.
Okay. Yeah, it was just something that I couldn't help but wonder if maybe they were mixing it up. It does cheapen it a lot, so I do see what you mean, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think cheapen it is, like, the best way to put it, because, my God, it's just, it's not great.
It's not
because
believable.
Hades is still manipulating her. Right. Yeah, and all he wants to do is reign. Like, he wants to rule Storybrooke now, and he cares more about that than anything, and the parallels between him and Rumpel are just so obvious.
I was just gonna say that.
Yeah.
They're very, very similar in so, so many ways, and not in any of the good ways. Do you know what I mean? They're just, they're not likable characters, and it's, you can have a character who people don't like, but they can still be good for the show, and I feel like these two characters don't fit that bill anymore. Like, once upon a time, they were good for the show in their evilness and in their bad, you know what I mean? Like, Rumpel was phenomenal when he was at his worst in a lot of ways. But he's just become so gross, and the way he manipulates Belle and the way he treats the people around him, that he is no longer enjoyable to watch being evil. He's just evil.
Well, yeah, because it's also not... I think that's absolutely true, Jen, and I think it's because it's not nuanced and varied and interesting and complex. It's become just a stereotype of people going mwahaha. Like, all they're missing is the mustache to twirl and tying a maiden on a railroad track. Like, that's the problem. It's not interesting evil. It's predictable and routine and manipulative evil, and we're gotten bored.
Especially because Once Upon a Time started off being the exact opposite of that. They made us care about Regina. They made us care about Rumpel. You know, like, that's not easy to do. And they did it, and they made evil interesting. And they redeemed those characters. Then they brought in these other cardboard cutout villains, and it just, I don't know. Yeah, it has fallen flat for me too, I think. But aside from that, I mean, I think we're all kind of frustrated with Hades, and especially with Rumpel right now. But there were a lot of other things that happened in this episode that really redeemed it for me. And I want to talk about those for a little bit. Really quick. In the beginning, you know, we see that everyone's back, of course, except for Hook, which is very sad. But we also get to see kind of what's been going on in Storybrooke for a little while. And Merida shows up. And don't know about you guys, but I was really delighted that she was there because I love Merida. And even though she was relegated to pretty much just finding Arthur's dead body, I was okay with that because she isn't wrapped up in this main storyline. And I think it would have been too much to have her tag along for the entire episode. But I'm really hoping that she sticks around.
I love Merida. I thought she was a great character. I think if we had more characters like Merida and they didn't keep using them and then losing them, like, this would feed interest. Like, I loved her as a character. I hope we still get complex characters like this.
I love that she kind of took up the reins as sheriff and, like, you know, and she just kind of said, well, they all left. Someone needs to handle this. And she just kind of took it upon herself. So it seems it's very Merida, just from what we know about her. So I did love that. And I would like to see her again. I think she's a really fun character that there's still a lot they could do with. So
yeah, I feel like what happens with these characters, though, that we start to love, like Will or Merida or even Red in Mulan, is that we get them for a brief little stint here and there, but they never do anything constructive with them. They never really get any storyline to really work with other than their one episode arc that's a flashback or how they're connected to the main group of people. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think at this point, they would almost be better to expand beyond just this main group that we're focusing on so much, because I think it's getting a little stale with what's going on with them, that they need to maybe, like, adjust and shift points of view a little bit, because consistently having the Snow White and Charming and Emma and all of that, I don't know if it's working as much as it used to. So having people like Merida be a part of the core group, or Mulan, or whomever, I think it would be more functional and it would give them more to work with.
Yeah, and I know Brittany isn't a fan of the themed seasons or half seasons, but I find that when we can have a character like Merida for, you know, 10 or 12 episodes, then their story can have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and we can send them off, and it feels fulfilled. It feels finished. But like you said, when we have one episode with them in a flashback, we fall in love with them, and then they're just gone. Who knows when they're going to pop up again? It always feels like, well, when are they going to come back? Like, I want to see them again because their story isn't finished. And I think that works better, like, you know, the 12-episode arc works better than them just kind of bring them in and out, and there's always this huge ensemble cast where they need to stick with the core, give them a problem, and have them solve it. I realize that sounds kind of formulaic, but with a show like Once Upon a Time, it's worked, and it's worked really well in the past. And maybe by season 6, you know, it is starting to fall apart a little bit, but I think it's still got to work better than what we're experiencing right now.
Yeah, like when you think about some of the characters that they did do the, you know, 12-episode arc thing for, it worked. Like, as much as not everyone loved the Frozen storyline, the Elsa, you know, Snow Queen stuff, it worked. It at least was compelling enough to keep us watching. Then they went away and it was okay. The Peter Pan storyline, like, he was a really interesting villain that we got a full 12 episodes of, and then that one moved on and we moved to the next. Like, not all of them have been gems, but it has worked really well. So I do agree that it is an interesting way to go about it for them.
And speaking of core characters and everything, you know, while Rumple didn't have a huge part in this episode, there is one scene that I would like to get angry with you guys about, in that he visits Belle's father. I know, I'm setting this up with a really positive spin, aren't I?
Well, I like that you already know we're all going to be angry about it.
I mean, how could you not? You have a brain. So, therefore, okay, so Rumple visits Belle's father, and he's there to ask him to give his daughter True Love's kiss to wake her up. Her father refuses, which is actually pretty smart of him, because he's like, not until you're gone. And then I'll wake her up, which is fine. Belle's safe, so, like, whatever. He can do this. So Rumple threatens to kill him, or at least to beat him until an inch of his life, in order to get him to do this. Like, does he think that Belle would ever forgive him if he actually did that?
No, but he doesn't care either, and I think that's the point. He is so far beyond being any sort of human being with any sort of realistic feeling that, I mean, he's just lost to the darkness. That is just, he is now like this version of Darth Vader that is just destroy and power hungry and just, like, own it all. And he thinks that he'll just be able to not necessarily charm Belle, but maybe spell her into not knowing the truth. Because he can control her when he's the Dark One. And that's, I mean, for him, he wants Belle awake, he wants his child, and this is all he wants. I mean, and that also poses a very interesting question. What happens to the baby while Belle is sleeping? Are they both just, like, in stasis, and that's just where they're at? There's no baby growing? Like, how does that work? Sorry, weird question, but...
I mean, she's not eating.
Right.
That's important for a growing child. That's what I mean.
Like, totally off on a tangent right now.
She's also not aging, either. Like, right, if you think about it, like, Snow didn't age.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So I would imagine the baby's progress would be stalled while she's in the sleeping curse, right. And then when it's lifted, it'll just, you know, be as if nothing ever happened, and the baby will continue to grow. That would be my guess.
I had an 18-month pregnancy. Beat that.
I slept for 9 months of it.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, yeah. I don't know. It's just really, the whole concept is just weird to me, the whole idea of it. And this, I'm so done with Belle and Rumple. Like, let's move on. Let's get Belle a nice boy, please. Or let's let Belle go off and have, like, mad adventures.
Yeah, really. As far as, like, Rumple and his threatening, I feel like he was always at his best when he was manipulating and, like, using people's attachments against them. So I feel like this is really cheap, weak, lazy Rumple. Like, to walk in there and just start yelling, "I'm gonna kill you." Like, the old Rumple, the Rumple from seasons 1 and 2 that we loved, would have left the shop and found something that this man adores more than anything, and other than Belle, and found a way to threaten him or create a way to, you know, make him think that he's gone so that he'll wake Belle up. Like, this is just lazy Rumple, and I think that's part of why I just can't find any connection to this character, is because he's not the same guy. He's just, I'm powerful, and I'm going to threaten you, and you're going to do what I want, and it's not working now.
It feels a lot
That's
more like...
That's an excellent point.
Yeah, it feels a lot like lazy writing. Do you know what I mean? Like, in the writer's room, I feel like this second half of this season has been so disjointed. I mean, did they put up ideas on a wall and start throwing darts? Like, how does it work? Like, how did you come up with this storyline that didn't really, like, connect anything? There was no overarching plot line. And still, to this moment, to this last episode, I still don't see what the overarching plot was for this whole run with Hades. Anyone?
I guess to reign above, but I feel like they could have condensed a lot of those earlier episodes, made the crystal a more prominent target from the beginning, and it would have been like, okay, we're consistently working toward this end goal. He's trying to get the crystal. The heroes are trying to stop him. I think that would have made it feel like an actual arc.
Right. Like, that was,
I think,
the
point is, I would say, the point, as Kevin would say, was to sell all sorts of Hercules tie-in products. So if we just tiptoe through the underworld, then more people will want to buy Hercules stuff, right?
But that's not true, because they didn't use it. And right.
Right. Exactly.
don't even get Karen started on the lack of Hercules right now.
Yeah. It didn't make any kind of sense anyway. It made no sense.
Yes. I'm sorry, my voice just went into, like, a fever pitch when I said that.
She got screechy. It's all over now. But the other thing is, and then they kind of go, like, with the Firebird plot, and they're like, oh, wait, but we're leaving. So I'm just going to leave this book right here, and people can figure out their own unfinished business. For real?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know, waiting for Kanye to pop up and go, I'm going to leave this right here. Like,
I mean, I'm glad we're back in Storybrooke. So hopefully we can just get past all of this really bad second half of the season and just move forward. Hopefully, fingers crossed, because right now it's just not okay.
I know people complain about us harping on the show a lot, and I at least think there were definitely some major highlights in this episode. And one of them for me, oddly enough, was Emma. And I don't know if everyone else feels this way. I know, Kristen, you said you got pretty emotional when it came to Emma, but right now, she's basically in denial about grieving. She doesn't want to grieve because she can't grieve until Hades is defeated. because then she knows that Killian can move on. And I thought it was interesting how everyone is always like, Emma, you need to deal with your grief. Just cry about it. You're going to feel better. And while 99% of the time, I would be on their side because Emma is not good with emotion. We've learned this from the beginning. And she's often very stubborn about, you know, no, I'm fine, or I'll just save the day. Like, I'm the savior. It's all going to be good. Here, I actually felt like she was in control of her emotions because she really, truly felt that it wasn't time to grieve. She couldn't slow down. She couldn't stop and cry over his grave because she needed to get rid of Hades. All she could think about was him, not herself. And I was actually really proud of her for that, and actually kind of angry at Snow and Charming for being like, you need to go home. Like, you can't actually help us or anything like that. Because it just got really frustrating for me.
Yeah, I definitely see what you mean. Like, Snow and Charming, for them, that's the advice they think people should give them. Like, you know, if one of them lost something, it's you need to go and mourn, because that's how they function, is they mourn and then they move on. And for Emma, that's just not the same. Like, she does need to, she's the savior. She needs to finish whatever she's doing. Like, she needs to finish helping Hook before she can have the time to put it behind her. So yeah, no, I really agree. And she really impressed me with, despite everyone telling her to do one thing, Emma's like, no, I know what I need to do, and I need to help Hook, and I'm not done helping Hook, so I'll grieve later.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was an interesting dynamic they set up, because when you look at how Emma handled the loss of Hook, and then you look at how Regina handled the loss of Robin, we're looking at two different ways to handle grief in a lot of ways. I felt Regina was much more intense about her grief in the moment than Emma was. Emma was kind of building up to getting to the grief and the crying and the you know, acceptance of loss, whereas Regina was just in it, like, from the beginning. The second Robin was gone, at the funeral scene was really, really heartbreaking to watch. So I think that was a really interesting dynamic when you look at the two and how their grief was handled and managed by themselves and by the people around them.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think the parallels between Emma, Regina and Zelina too in this episode were really interesting, considering that they all kind of feel like they've lost somebody that they truly loved, and how they're handling it, that, and how they're supporting or not supporting each other. So, and that's something we can talk about too when we get to the funeral scene. But before we do, we want to jump into the underworld, because quite a bit of stuff happened down here in that, you know, Arthur is obviously in the underworld now, and he meets Hook, who can't move on. He's still trying to figure out how to move on. And they realize, or Hook realizes, that Hades isn't there to hide his secrets anymore. So they need to go on a quest to find out how to defeat him. And Hook tells Arthur, look, you can either go somewhere good or somewhere bad after this. It's up to you. How about you help me, and maybe that'll mean you can go somewhere good. And Arthur agrees to it, because of course he's going to agree to it. But I kind of wonder, like, does that negate the whole, like, self-sacrifice thing when he's like, I'm only doing this so that it can benefit me later on?
But that's Arthur's character in a nutshell. Do you know what I mean? He was never self-sacrificing, so it's so fitting that he was like, well, if this is going to serve my purposes, why, yes, I will help you quest, my friend. I don't know. He's Arthur. And now he's king of the underworld because he said he was. I mean, and that's one more example of that character trait of Arthur. Well, I'm not going to move on. I've decided I'm going to stay and run the underworld. This is a kingdom, and I was prophesized to run a kingdom. So in his mind, this is the true prophecy of where he's supposed to be, which is interesting.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that plot point wasn't surprising and kind of delightful in its own way, because of course you always want to cheer for Arthur. Like, in mythology and in stories, like, he's a very good person and you want him to win. This Arthur, you kind of despise because he's done some pretty crappy things. But I like that in the end, maybe he's kind of come around. My only issue with that is they did it in one episode. And not even just one episode. Like, this wasn't centered around him. It was a portion of one episode. Are we really meant to believe that he's, like, completely changed his ways? Like, all of a sudden he has a purpose and poof, I'm good again.
I feel like this was the episode before the two-hour episode where everything that's kind of extraneous needs to be tied up in a neat little bow. Oh, Arthur and his people are still in Storybrooke. Well, let's get rid of Arthur, then his people will handle later. Oh, Arthur's in the underworld. We have to wrap up his storyline. Okay, now Arthur's going to become the king of the underworld. Great. Do you know what I mean? Like, it really kind of felt like there was a checklist, and we needed to get X, Y, and Z accomplished in this episode so that the next two episodes can accomplish the setup for next season, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have done that before. Like, if you think about the episodes right before Emma and Hook went on their time travel adventure, like, it was kind of the same thing. Like, they wrapped everything up in a nice little bow so that they could go on their time travel deal and it wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't have to worry about all the extra stuff. So it does have a precedent for that. I can definitely see it.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. And in the underworld, you know, we see the demon or the spirit attacking Arthur, which is interesting because that's happening since Hades isn't around. Again, if Arthur becomes, you know, god of the underworld or even king of the underworld, how is he going to keep them in check? He doesn't have any power. And then, you know, Hook saves him instead of going for the book. And then Arthur ends up saving the book and Hook grabs it and he places the pages back in to send it to Emma. And it was like, I liked this storyline, but at the same time, it felt like, okay, here is, you know, step 1, 2, 3, and 4. They're accomplishing it. 1, 2, 3, and 4. It just felt very, like, stunted to me, where I would have liked a bit more interaction, a bit more back and forth. Hook, early on in the episode, felt a little bit more like the Hook we've been used to, but this one just felt like they had to fit so much into this portion that it didn't really come off the way that I think they were hoping it would, with the whole bromance thing, which I totally didn't feel, by the way.
I think it would have been better if we would have spent less time with the not knowing what Hades was up to for literally the whole season and spread mm-hmm. out the Hook and Emma being separated in the underworld where Hook was still trying to figure out what would move him forward. Like, if we would have had two episodes to explore that instead of one, I think it would have summed things up a little bit better. It wouldn't have felt, like, rushed. Because I did like what they did with Hook and Arthur. I think it was interesting and it was fun and it kind of brought it back to that, you know, some really interesting dynamics. But at the same time, it was very compact and condensed and everything had to happen very quickly and very, you know, formulaic in order to make it functional. And I think if they could have spread that out a little bit more, this season may have been a little bit more enjoyable if we would have had different looks at different things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Completely agree with that.
I just was just sort of just so completely stunned that we even had Arthur back at all. And then poof, he's there and, you know, he's working with Hook. He's, you know, going to be Lord Regal of the underworld there. I think I was just so done by the point about halfway through the episode that I just got to the point of past caring. And then the final knife in it was Robin dying. But I legitimately got to the point where I just honestly didn't care anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair, especially because, you know, we haven't had a reason to care about Arthur up until this point, so why should we all of a sudden start caring now? But you bring up a great point in that, you know, Robin, I think that death is going to be very divisive for fans, just because on the one hand, it was, in terms of storytelling, I think a great twist and a great emotional moment, but on the other hand, like, so sad because Robin's gone, and we know after Hades repairs the crystal, he says it ends a person. You don't get the underworld. You don't get anything. You are just gone. You are dead forever. Is anyone here under the impression that Robin could come back, or are we all in agreement that, yeah, dead is dead?
I mean, I think in this case, dead is probably dead. However, there is the whole thing where Killian was saved by Zeus, which was so awkward and just weird. But
very weird.
Do you know what I mean? It's Zeus's crystal. So who has control over the final say in this issue? Do you know what I mean? Is it a Zeus issue because he's the god and, you know, he controls all this stuff and he's got the lightning bolt crystal thingy? Or do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there might be just an itty bitty bit of wiggle room somewhere down the line.
I feel like we only get him back in flashbacks, but I mean, it would be nice if we got him back, but I'm thinking it's going to be a flashback or some kind of, well, I'm now in this other place, visit me there. Like, I don't think he's going to be back, like, corporeally in Storybrooke with Regina. Like, I feel like that's been done.
I feel like they needed us to know that despite all of the time we've spent just powering around in the underworld, like, there are still deaths that are final. So I feel like that's what they were trying to get across tonight. Like, Robin wasn't just going to the underworld where somehow there might be a way to save him. They wanted us to feel the pain that of Regina, like, of him actually being gone and out of reach. And since, you know, we kind of trivialized death a little bit in this season, they had to kind of make that punch. So I'm hoping that, yeah, maybe Zeus still has a little bit of power here. Maybe there is a way to restore him somehow, but I'm not holding my breath over it either. I think he's gone. I think Laura's right, and we might get him in flashbacks, but you know, there may be a little bit of wiggle room.
I really do not think there's wiggle room. I think that they made it perfectly clear that he is gone, that he just does not exist anywhere. I would even go as far as to say that we're not going to get him in flashbacks either. Because, I mean, unless it's like 150th episode, let's get a glimpse of Robin in the background. Because his story, I think, is over, and there really aren't, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there really aren't any other characters in play that center around his story where he might pop up in a flashback.
That would be correct. I would say that flashbacks are not as likely because there's no reason to flashback to him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, there's nothing. And to be honest, and this is going to be really hard for me to say, but if they really wanted to make an impact and prove a point and kill a character and make it impactful in the biggest way possible, then the character that they should have killed and kept dead, Brittany's gonna kill me, is Killian. Mm. It should have happened. I love Captain Hook, don't get me wrong, but that boy has died and come back I don't know how many times. And, I mean, he's got more lives than a cat at this point. And as much as I love him, I think if you want to take the story and really twist it and shape it and make it just kind of something different and be impactful about the underworld, then it should have been him.
I don't disagree with you, but I can also say that if they had actually permanently killed him off, I don't know if I could watch season 6. Because he brings something so different and so wonderful to the show that it would have been, I think it would have been a death for the sake of, like, shocking us rather than a death that actually, like, was planned out and sort of meant to be.
Yeah, Hook has always kind of been the, like, voice, sadly, the voice of reason with all of these, like, hopelessly optimistic people who are always like, we're gonna find a cure, it'll be okay. Like, sometimes he just tells them, like, no, it's not gonna be okay. This is awful and it sucks. Like, and if they would have lost him and that quality, I think it would have been to the show's detriment. I do agree that it would have certainly packed a punch. But I can't see them doing it. I think it would have hurt the show more than it helped it, though.
Yeah. And despite how sad it is that Robin is gone, I have to say, I absolutely loved Regina's little speech to Zelina because she was like, love is sacrifice. It's giving up everything for the one that you love. And so I was like, you listening, Rumpel? Because she's speaking to you right now. And Hades wouldn't do that. He's constantly trying to manipulate Zelina. And he wants Zelina, but he's not willing to give up his empire in order to do that. And it was such a beautiful statement, and I think something that's been true to Once Upon a Time for the beginning, the people who truly love each other, and of course, you know, my mind automatically goes to Snow and Charming, is that, you know, they're going to give up everything for one another. You hope that never happens, but they're willing to do it without batting an eye. And I think that's why in the end that, you know, Xelena kills Hades, because she realizes that Regina is right. And I was actually surprised that they killed off Hades in this episode. And not only that, but that he's gone. He's not just sent back to the underworld.
Well, here's the interesting thing. He turned to dust and Robin didn't. Is it because he's a god?
Perhaps.
Like, it was an odd thing that they were done differently. Their deaths by Crystal were done differently.
But, I mean, that is the distinction between them. You know, one was a mortal man, one was a god. So I would like to think that it wasn't just for show, so that they could show Rumpel, you know, digging in there and pulling out the crystal, that it actually did have a reason. I thought he was honestly going to use Hades' ash for something, and I was like, really? And then he ended up pulling out the crystal instead.
It was still a creepy move.
His little finger swirl in the ash was really creepy. I was like, dude, did you know that was there? Were you just, you know, playing? Like, it was weird.
Laura, how did you feel about the fact that they killed off Hades this early? I mean, not that it's early. We are at the end of the season, but I was expecting it to be sort of a finale death.
It didn't surprise me that much, because I feel like a lot of times penultimate episodes, you know, that is like the bum, bum, bum. Like, oh my gosh, all this happened and there's more next week. Like, so I would say that Hades' death did not come as a total shocker to me. In this week, I was pretty much done with him, so I was glad they got rid of him, but it was not sort of a supreme shocker. But I am really left to wonder where they're going from here, because I'm just not really sure, but not particularly shocked.
Yeah, my hope is that Rumpel is the big bad now, and in the final few episodes they have to defeat him / kill him dead forever and ever.
Karen is like, it is time.
I approve of this message.
I know.
It's been 5 seasons, guys. He hasn't changed.
And he's not going to.
No. And he's just become uglier. Like, at one point in time, he was a very enjoyable villain. You know, I love a good villain, but he is no longer, like, an enjoyable, entertaining villain. He's just icky. It's the best way I can describe him right now.
It's so true. He used to be, like, the master manipulator and was, you know, always had a solution for whatever problem came along, and you didn't see it coming, but he always had a hat in the ring, and now it just feels like he's kind of stumbling around and yelling at people and threatening lives, and it just, he's just icky. You're so absolutely right.
Right. I mean, I wish there would be more for him, but I don't know if there's going to be, so I'm not really sure how much longer he can continue with these kinds of storylines and still be somebody that's appealing to the show and how he functions within the show kind of thing. You know, I do love him, and I love Robert Carlyle when he was in this role and he had a lot going on, but I feel like it's kind of like degraded into this little bit of nothing, and they keep giving him the same kind of characteristic movement over and over and over again, and it's just so tedious, whereas others at least have growth and we see different things going on and different dynamic. With him, we're just in this place it feels very stuck.
Yeah, basically I am Selena's face when Hades picks up the phone and she hears that it's Rumpel, because she gave this epic eye roll and I was like, yes, that is me every time Rumpel's name is mentioned too.
I love it.
Yeah. Karen is also Regina when she said, I really hate him. Like, that is so,
Oh, Rumpel.
Okay, last two major plot points of this episode. One being the funeral. Just kind of want to get your guys' take on it, because it was surprisingly emotional, especially when we see Roland place an arrow on the casket, and you have Henry, who obviously has gotten close to Robin over, you know, however many months or however long they've been together. I mean, time is confusing in this show, so I'm not even going to pretend to know how long it's been. But, you know, and then the adults, of course, and I think even Emma, who is clearly upset about Hook, is also upset about Robin and had bonded with him. And just, you know, the fact that they named the baby Robin, you guys have any thoughts on any of this? How did it make you feel?
It was just so, like, I just had so many questions of, like, this monster is going to raise their child, the woman who at every bend and turn has proved that she's an unfit mother, is going to be left with this baby, and I'm just like, ah!
I think there was an attempt at redemption with this episode for her. I think that you're supposed to feel better about her. Not necessarily that you do, Laura. I know you have very strong feelings about her. But I think the fact that Regina started to trust her and then she chose to kill Hades over Regina is meant to be her redemption arc. As small as it is, as insignificant as it may seem, I think that was the point of that. And so I'll be curious to see if she ends up raising the baby on her own or if she and Regina work together to raise Robin and Roland. Because Roland is technically an orphan. Is he going to live in the woods with the Merry Men now? Like, I don't know. It seems more practical and more, you know, kind of plot-worthy that Regina would take him in. Like she took in Henry. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that would be more... It would give more substance to the storyline. Or he could fade away into the background, which would be awful. But anyway.
I was going to say, I wonder if Robin has a will.
doubtful.
Is there parental rights? Like, does anyone know who was supposed to take Roland in the case of emergency? Who knows? As far as the funeral goes, the scene with Emma at Killian's grave right before Robin's funeral started was the section where I really started to tear up. She did such a beautiful job with that scene. And it's just her and this gravestone. And that really got me because you could just feel her realizing that it's truly goodbye and that there's nothing more she can do. And, you know, and then she walks away and we still don't know what's going on with Hook, you know, because we saw him kind of walk into the light and we assume he's, you know, gone. And yeah, that whole sequence really got me. Robin's funeral, I thought was really beautiful with the arrows and just everybody kind of getting a chance. Little Roland setting it on his daddy's casket, like that kind of broke me too. Like, that's really, really, really sad. So, yeah, it was well handled, I will say. I did like how they handled the funerals and the goodbyes.
Yeah, completely agree. And then, of course, last but certainly not least, we do get another scene with Hook. He goes, you know, he's in the underworld. He walks into the light. He meets Zeus. And look, this is not my Zeus. He was so young and scrawny, and I was like, this is... like the king of the gods, and he's this like 20-year-old kid, and it just, I know that's just aesthetics, but I wasn't really into it. He didn't seem all powerful or wise. It was just weird. But Jen, you mentioned not really liking this interaction anyway, and that you thought it was, I don't know, weird that he ends up, that Zeus like pulls the string.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's a very odd, like, we hear about Zeus. We don't see anything about Zeus. But now that Killian's helped get rid of Hades, I'm sorry, isn't Zeus, like, the end-all and be-all when it comes to the gods? Couldn't he have just handled Hades on his own? I'm confused, I guess. But it's a way, again, to get Killian back to Emma. And I get it. Like, I understand that's a huge plot thing. And Emma and Killian are true love. And I do like their storyline. This manipulation of things has been so hard for me as someone who loves good story and reads a lot of books and all that stuff. This has just been a really difficult season for me, or half of the season for me, because it feels so disconnected in a lot of ways. And I agree with you about the age. That Zeus did not look... like, if you put Zeus and Hades next to each other, and they're supposed to be, you know, brothers and gods and all this stuff, it's just a weird combination.
It was. And, I mean, not that I'm surprised, because Once Upon a Time hasn't been handling the Greek mythology as well as I would have liked to have seen, but it was definitely an odd choice. Like, pretty much every depiction of Zeus you see, he's an older, bearded guy, and not that they had to stick with that, because clearly Once Upon a Time has gone in different directions, but I'd like to know why they chose to cast this person instead of somebody that would give off an aura of being so powerful. Unless the point was that he's not powerful, because clearly you know, he can bring Killian back from the dead, but yeah, like you said, he can't stop Hades, which is interesting. And maybe it's a whole, you know, gods don't interfere kind of thing, but he's clearly interfering here, so.
Yeah, I kind of felt like there was a scene missing. Like, I wanted Killian, like, Zeus was ready to help Killian move on. He's, you know, he's made his peace. And I kind of wanted him to turn around and say, I'm not done. Like, Zeus has the power to make someone mortal or to, you know, we've seen that with Hercules and many different legends and things. But I was kind of hoping that Killian would turn around and say, all I've wanted is to go back. Like, I don't need to move on. I want to go back to my life and to the woman I love. And for Zeus to be like, okay, you know, like, you did me this favor and I can do you one. Like, I was hoping we'd get something like that, not just, ta-da, Zeus decided that you get to go back and here we go. Like, I was hoping that it would be a choice on Killian's behalf, not just a gift.
Actually, I'm going to disagree with that because I really liked the way that this played out in those terms. Like, because the story with Orpheus is that he turns around and looks at his wife almost as a way of saying, like, I don't trust the gods to do what they said they're going to do. So I'm going to turn around before I leave the underworld and make sure that she's there, and then we'll leave and everything will be fine. Well, of course, that kind of breaks the deal, and she swept back to the underworld. I like the fact that Killian was like, whatever happens, happens. Like, I did my best, did my part. Now you get to decide where I go. And I mean, yeah, it takes it out of his hands, and it would have been nice for him to admit, like, this is the thing that I want most, you know, in life and death. But I kind of like that it was this, you know, he didn't turn around kind of thing, that he just trusted in the gods to do the best thing for him. And it ended up being putting him back on Earth with Emma. But how about that reunion scene? I really liked it.
That I thought was good. I mean, I thought it was good, but I just hope that we're not, like, as much as we're talking about other people growing and everything, like, I hope we're not going to be back to Emma waffling again, because that will really drive me nuts.
Yeah, I really wanted her to be like, oh my gosh, I love you so much. Because, like we've said before, you know, she tends to say it when they're about to die, and I would have liked to have heard her say it now, being like, I thought, you know, that I could live without you, or I thought I could move on too, and I couldn't, and this is how much I love you, and to just say it there. And it never happened, and it was kind of disappointing. But yeah, that pretty much wraps up the episode. Like I said, it was kind of jam-packed, but we're not at the end yet, and we still have a couple more episodes to go, so I don't know. You guys looking forward to these last few, or are you just kind of waiting to get through them?
I'm legit waiting to get through. This may be it for me. I'm not sure I can do Once Upon a Time after this. I'm going to see what happens next week, but I may be done.
I'm kind of hoping that there's something in the next. This is the 2-episode weekend, correct? And it starts at 7 this week? Next week, rather?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah. So, like, I'm kind of hoping there's something, or whatever they introduce for next season is going to be something worthwhile and something that they can kind of regroup and really have a focused storyline about, because that, honestly, my biggest complaint for this whole second half is that the storyline was unfocused. I didn't feel like we had some really, like, in the past, like, arcs and, you know, 10-episode arcs or 11-episode arcs, we had some really solid storytelling. We knew there was an endgame, we just didn't know what it was, but it was kind of this really cool storytelling, and that wasn't happening this set half of the season. So if they can recoup that, I'm in. You know, I like this show. It's an easy watch. It's a lot of fun. It's got a lot of fun, sassy lines most of the time. But if we can't recoup that in some way, it's going to be really hard for me to watch as well. So I'm hoping we get something really exciting and some really good storytelling in these last couple of episodes.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm hoping for, too. I feel like they stumbled incredibly badly in this last half of the season. But I have faith that it was a stumble. It was, you know, it's not a... They didn't fall, they just lost their footing. I'm going to get away from this metaphor now. But, you know, I have faith that they can do better. And I think that if these two episodes lead us to something that's, you know, can draw us into next season, then I'm totally game for it. I still do like this show, and I love a lot of these characters. I just, yeah, it's been tough watching some very poorly structured episodes and some very poorly structured plot. So, yeah, I'm holding out hope that these two final hours will bring it back around and get us all excited about what is coming up next.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I mean, I think that they made a huge leap forward when they didn't kill off Killian, just because I think that I would have been out if that happened. But yeah, I always wait until the end of the final episode to see the hint of what's coming next, if it's going to excite me or not. And honestly, unless they totally screw up somehow, like Belle gets back with Rumpel at the end of the season, then I'm going to check out season 6 and see if it, you know, if it still draws me in. Because like you said, Jen, it's a fun, easy watch, and it can be very clever when it's on its game. And I'm waiting for it to get back to that point.
Right.
And I would really like it too.
I feel like this has happened at least once before when we would come on Once More, and like every episode of Once More, we're like, oh my God, there's just nothing. What are we going to say? Because we wanted to like it so badly, and it was just so disjointed. I think that there was one other section of a season that was like this for us. So I'm hoping that whatever happened in the writing room for this section, that they kind of regroup and come back, and that season 6 is, you know, a fresh take and a fresh look and some more solid writing.
Yeah, I completely agree. All right, the last episode, I believe, is called Only You. Does this have two titles or just one title?
It should have. It usually has two.
Only You and An Untold Story.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Okay, well, that's going to be next week, and I think there might be a slight delay in our recording next week, just because a lot of us are going to BEA, so we'll have to see what happens there, but we will be recording for you guys, and hopefully we can get all of us next time. We'll see what happens if we decide to do what we were planning on doing, which should be loads of fun. Okay, well, until next time, I'm Karen.
I'm Jen.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Laura.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Or you can comment on this post on Hyperbole.com or any of our... Wow.
What the bloody fuck was that?
Is there... Pardon the drag racers.
I was going to say, are you drag racing going out of such your apartment, girls? What the...
Like, my God.
It was so loud.
It was like Cruella just pulled up and stole... What?
God, Cruella, not now. Anyway, so that's going in the bloopers. Okay. That emotion really helped. God, help me.
What the hell?
That one was not as loud.
So, yeah. Like, Cruella is now circling the block, and she's come back for the next lap. It's either that or the mystery mobile, and those pesky kids are going to hop out.
She's hunting us. Anyway.
So do not have the mental capacity for this tonight. Okay.